La 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 la, the Secret Diaries podcast. Welcome to episode 11 of Hyperbole's Secret Diaries chat, where we talk about the latest episodes of The Vampire Diaries and The Secret Circle. We have reached the penultimate episodes of season 3 of The Vampire Diaries and season 1 of The Secret Circle, and it is very exciting, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about. The episodes that we'll be discussing this week were, of course, Before Sunset and Prom. Before we head into any of that, let's just introduce ourselves really quickly. So I am Selena.
And I'm Laura.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sarah.
And, of course, the other thing that we always do at the beginning of the show is share our contact information. Oh, hold on one second. How are you guys doing?
Oh, good.
Are you good?
How about you?
I'm great.
Fine. It was a fun week. There was lots to talk about, but I'm doing good.
That's good. I just figure, you know, you always in podcasts, you hear people ask how you're doing, and we never do. Seems so impersonal, so.
We're not very friendly.
No. Yeah. I wanted to bring in some very artificial friendliness here at the beginning. Cue banter of some kind. Yes.
You caught me off guard. I just literally muted my microphone going, okay, they're going to be into Vampire Diaries now. I've got like a half an hour. And I'm going, oh no, she just asked me a question.
Yeah, I might do that just to check if you're really listening. So, you know, stay alert. So now I can actually go into the contact information. Don't worry, there's not going to be any unexpected stuff now. If you want to email us, of course, as usual, you can email secretdiaries@hyperbole.com. You can tweet us at secretdiariesTV, and you can go on hyperbole.com, which is hyperbole.com. Now that that is done, I say we just head straight into the discussion of The Vampire Diaries episode Before Sunset. In this episode, Rebecca returns only to see Evil Alaric drag Caroline into the high school for some really messed up torture scenes. I think if there was one way to make the audience absolutely hate Alaric, they succeeded by having him torture the most loved character on the show. At least that's what I think. Anyway, Rebecca returns to Klaus and begs him to leave town with her, but he would rather have Elena and his hybrid army, so Klaus goes to the Gilbert house to get Elena. But Elena's gone to the school to save Caroline, and Alaric explains that he's still trying to train her to kill vampires, as he says, when will you learn not to trust vampires? Bonnie brings back Abby to make a spell to trap Alaric, which will require her to stop Jeremy's heart, but ultimately Klaus and the Salvators fail to actually carry out the spell. Klaus learns that Alaric's life is tied to Elena's, so in an act of true evil, which we haven't seen from him in a while, he starts bleeding Elena dry to kill her while still getting to keep as much of her blood as possible. Luckily, though, Tyler has broken his sire bond, and with Damon and Stefan's help, they do the spell on Klaus instead of Alaric, which basically binds him in sleep the same way that Michael was bound. At the end of the episode, Elena finally comes clean to Damon and Stefan that the reason she isn't choosing between them is because she doesn't want to lose the other brother. And on the way to dump Klaus in the sea, we'll talk about that, Damon and Stefan decide that whoever she doesn't choose will leave town. And then, of course, there was a scene also towards the end where Alaric revealed himself to the council, and it looks like they're setting up some kind of big vampire versus human showdown. And, okay, that all that is nice and all and very complicated, but of course trust Julie Plec and the others to throw in a final wrench to the story. Elena obviously was near death when Klaus trapped her blood, and when at the end of the episode she suddenly collapses with blood running out of her nose, we were probably all left with the same question. Is she now in transition? And I think that is where we will start the discussion this week. So what do you guys think? This seems to be a very popular theory.
See, that never crossed my mind.
Really? What did you think?
I don't know. I thought it was because she's the doppelganger, that she's somehow connected to Klaus. And because Klaus is not living at the moment, that it's affected her. Because when vampires change, they don't usually bleed out their nose and stuff. So that's what made me, I don't know, it never even crossed my mind. Maybe I'm just really bad at guessing things, but well, it didn't occur to me until I saw Sarah send that in an email, and I'm like, what?
Well, really? I think the main reason that everybody's thinking it, and not everybody is thinking it, but we've seen a lot of comments on Hyperbole, and it was the first thing that I thought as well, is because, you know, in the scene where she's held hostage by Klaus, she falls over, and you sort of zoom in on her hitting her head. Mm-hmm. And then she just gets up a few minutes later. And even though we don't actually see her drinking any vampire blood, some people are kind of assuming that the Salvators gave her blood to help her heal.
Well, right. That makes sense. I get that part of it. But she didn't die. So how is she transforming? Like, that's
unless
the part
she
I was
died
confused
when
about.
She hit her head.
Like, that's why I don't think it crossed my mind, because it wasn't like she was actually killed. So that's why I thought it had more to do with Klaus being, because she's the doppelganger and she's tied to Klaus, that it had more to do with that than anything else.
I had seen some of the comments on Hypable and on our Twitter feed before watching the episode. So I already, going in, was thinking about Elena being in transition somewhere at the end of the episode. So I was kind of watching for it. But the thing is, she falls and hits her head. And it really, I mean, it looks like, you know, like her neck cracks. It looks like a really bad fall. But there wouldn't have been any chance for either of the Salvators to give her any blood before then, because she, like, falls right as they rush in. And so, I don't know, that's the part I couldn't figure out, is how she could be turning into a vampire. I definitely think that it seemed like she died there, and it was really fishy that she just, like, got up a minute later and was completely fine. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I really like your theory, Jen, about her bond with Klaus, and I think it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
Another reason you could say for the transition theory is that because Alaric's life is tied to Elena's, if they want to get rid of Alaric, then they'd almost have to... Elena would almost have to die in some fashion. Like, some people are saying that maybe she didn't die when she hit her head, but she had, like, an aneurysm or something, so she's actually dying right now. And in a way, that would... Well, what I think, if she is in transition, it would be really interesting, because they would potentially be faced with a choice. You know, all these choices about whether to turn into a vampire or for her to die. And that would sort of set up the finale, which, as we know, is supposedly full of flashbacks and is going to be very emotional. But what I think is that she's somehow going to avoid becoming a vampire, because even though, spoiler alert, it does happen in the books, I'm not sure they would let it happen at this point in the series. Like, if it's going to happen at all, it would be sort of final season thing. I'm not sure, but that's what I think.
Yeah, well, don't forget, she has to come... Well, in the books, I think she becomes a ghost before she becomes a vampire, so you never know. There's always that option.
You brought up something that sort of, in my mind, makes the case against transition, which is, if her human life ended, wouldn't that have done something to Alaric, since his... Well, life is tied to hers? Or do you think that if she were to transition into a vampire, that would truly make him immortal, because she would mm-hmm. be immortal?
Right, well,
do
maybe
you know what I'm saying?
If she is in transition, maybe the fall didn't kill her, but it's causing her death right now. You know what I mean? Like, it...
She was injured in that, yeah. That's causing her to die slowly.
Maybe.
Is what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, maybe. It's a possibility, and I feel like we should definitely bring it up, because... of it is such a popular theory. But I think, Jen, you definitely make a really good point. And I think, you know, there is, I mean, it's, who was it? One person commented, I was just trying to looking for it, I couldn't find it. But one person on Hyperbole said that it's almost like when a witch's spell affects a vampire. So I don't really know.
Yeah, because well, Bonnie always bleeds from her nose when she's gone and done a strong spell.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I don't know if that means anything, but just thought I'd bring it up. But so something else that happened in this episode, of course, is that Alaric seems truly evil now. So do you guys see him now becoming sort of the big bad of season 4, or are they going to get rid of him?
I think he'll linger, because I don't know how they can get rid of him. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. because there's some part of him, besides the fact that he can't kill Elena... There's some part of him, I think, that is still connected to Elena, Gil as it may be. I think it's still there, and it's not just to do with her life is connected to his. I don't think that's the entirety of it for him at this point, but I still think he's going to try to do a lot of awful things to people, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sarah?
I think that they did a fantastic job of making the audience hate him, because if anyone was being stubborn against believing that Rick was evil, it was me. And after seeing what he did to Caroline, you know, I'm no longer on Team Rick, so I could see him being the big bad of season. I don't know, I just don't see him being bad enough to span an entire season as the villain. I feel like he may run over a few more episodes, but I definitely think we'll see some other sort of evil.
Right. What he did to Caroline was terrible. I mean, that is, you know, I said before, that's the one thing that they could do to absolutely turn us against him. Because Caroline is like the one vampire who has done no wrong. Like, I know he said that thing about the, you know, she's killed one person, but that was when she first transitioned. I don't think anyone really holds that against her because of all the good she's done since then. So I don't know. I just, it was terrible. It's amazing.
Well, I also think that if they make him the villain for next season, it's kind of like a repeat of Michael being the villain.
Yeah, you know,
when Michael was there, it's the same idea. He's basically a new creation of Michael. So it seems a little repetitive, and I'm not sure that they would do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here's the question. Could you make a case for Alaric being right about everything he says about vampires? Because Elena almost does.
You could make a case for him being right, but at the same time, you're so connected to those people. And as Elena says at the end of the episode, if we kill this person, then we kill Caroline, and we kill Tyler, and we kill Damon and Stefan. And these are the only family that she has left. So even though she looks at it and says, yes, they've done bad things, or yes, they're not human like the rest of us, we still would lose the people we care about. And Caroline was human and got dragged into this through no fault of her own. The same thing, I mean, Tyler's family was cursed, if you will. So really, it wasn't really his fault either because Catherine set him up. Mm-hmm. So in the end, it's really about, you know, do you get rid of the people you love because somebody thinks that they're abominations, or do you fight for the people you love and keep them close because it's all you have left?
And what about that whole council meeting at the end? What do you think is going to happen with that?
It looked like they were about to tar and feather Caroline and Tyler's moms. I mean, I see very bad things coming from that. But at the same time, I don't see how a group of humans can stand up to all the supernaturals with one stake that Rick has.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Are they going to try to go after one of the originals, knowing that that's going to wipe out a whole bunch of vampires? Or is it going to be similar to, I want to say, the season one finale with the big fire? Was it season two finale? It was season one finale, right?
Yeah, it was the season one finale.
I don't really see them going after an original just because I don't think that they would really take the story out of Mystic Falls, and none of the originals are left in town.
Right now.
So I think that if the originals come back in it, I don't really see them being prominent until next season again.
Well, I was going to say, Rebecca's still in town. And from the previews for next week, Elijah is back.
Yay!
I know.
Sorry.
And I think once they hear that Klaus is missing, if you will, I think that they'll come back.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you think about their master plan of dumping Klaus in the Atlantic? I mean, if he really is their bloodline, shouldn't they, like, try to keep him safe?
Yeah, I don't get the whole, like, let's dump him in the Atlantic. And then what happens when he washes up somewhere?
I know.
I'm confused by the whole, let's go dump the body in the ocean. But
they could just put him in a coffin.
I'm sure they have a plan.
Yeah, maybe. I don't, that seemed like a stupid plan to me.
I don't know. It's kind of odd. But, you know, there's always something. There's always some sort of loophole or something that comes up. Because, I mean, let's think about it. The whole, let's take out Klaus using the spell that we were going to use on Alaric kind of came out of the blue. And it's the perfect loophole because now they don't have to worry about, well, for the time being, Klaus is out of the way and they don't have to worry about killing off possibly themselves by killing him with the stake. They found another way to incapacitate him for the moment. So, you know, who knows? Maybe there's something with throwing him in the ocean or...
Do you think he's going to be gone for good?
No. Because...
No.
Because, well, they've only, you know, desiccated him or whatever. You know, they haven't killed him and there has to be a reason for that. Until someone is dead and dead and gone, like, definitely done. And even then they could come back as ghosts. But you know what I mean? There has to be something final about this. This is not death. This is just a state of frozen. So, and Michael came back because he drank the blood of Catherine. So all it takes is for Klaus to be able to be woken up by someone. And then he's back. And it doesn't have to be necessarily 15 years or whatever it is. I think he can be woken up at any time. All right, I may have misunderstood that, but so at any time Klaus could come back. That doorway is left wide open.
I think that's right, and I think that's why they're choosing to throw him into the ocean, because they think that that's somewhere that no one will be able to reach him to save him.
And that makes sense. Yeah. But it doesn't stop his body from washing up on shore somewhere. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, they could. I mean, the mafia has been doing it for years. They could find a way to sink his body.
Oh, boy.
Wow. It's getting grim. So one thing that Klaus did say this episode sort of very casually was that, oh, yeah, I'm your bloodline person, so you can't kill me. But surely, because he said it in this throwaway, you know, in this throwaway manner, it's sort of an indicator to the audience that he's not, don't you think? Like, there's no way that he's their bloodline, whatever you call it now, because he said he is. So I'm pretty sure it's Elijah at this point.
Yeah, I think it's Elijah too. I think Klaus was lying.
I'm not sure even Klaus knows. Like, I don't think that him saying it like that told us one thing either way, like one way or the other, because clearly he was just saying it. I don't know.
No, I just feel like for the sake of telling a story, like when you introduce something like that and you say, okay, well, I am your blah, blah, blah. I really don't know what to call him, so it's your blah, blah, blah now. But when you put it like that, if it actually turns out it is Klaus, it's going to be a huge anticlimax. So I just feel for the sake of dramatics, it's not going to be Klaus now, so we can pretty much rule him out. It's too easy.
Didn't Elijah and, I can't remember her name, Rose have a connection? Wasn't there something about them?
Yeah.
Like, she was always connected more closely to Elijah than she was to Klaus.
But she was sired by, like, Happy Ellen or whatever her name was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The one that got killed.
Yeah, nice. That one. I can never remember these things. God. But yeah, her name wasn't Happy Ellen, but yeah, that one. And Cole at least knew who sired her, or at least he said he did. Someone must know who sired her, because one of them did. But I'm sure we'll
find
out.
One of them knew to go kill the other woman.
So, I mean, I'm sure we'll find out by the end of the season, and I'm still saying it's Elijah, because I keep calling him Alaric. It's really confusing. So moving on to sort of the end of the episode, and I sort of felt like there were like 5 end scenes this week. And it was weird because first they had the Gilbert sort of kitchen scene, which was adorable. And I was like, oh, it's the end of the episode. That's nice. And then they had like some other scene, and then they had the Alaric scene, and then they had the Salvatore scene, and it was so many scenes. But the first end scene, if you can call it that, was obviously Elena telling Stefan and Damon that the reason she didn't choose is because she doesn't want to lose one of them. And then we had later Damon and Stefan pretty much confirming her fears by agreeing to that the one she didn't choose would leave Mystic Falls. What do you guys think of that?
I thought it was really interesting how I think she's already chosen and she's just not saying, to be honest. Mm. And so she doesn't want to outright choose because she's going to lose the other one, and I honestly think it'll be Stefan, and that Stefan will leave again, and she's only just gotten him back in her life, and I don't think she wants to lose him. That's why she's not choosing.
Were you saying that she would choose Damon?
I think she's going to choose Damon.
I just want to say, interesting that you said that, Jen, because I would be sure at this point that Elena would choose Stefan. Like, absolutely sure, because it just seems like she really, really has a connection to Damon, but in her head, it's not really a choice. You know, like, obviously she knows that it's a choice because they both love her. But I think the type of love she has is very different for them. And I think even though she has a strong connection to Damon and a strong attraction to him, she would rather have Stefan in her life. Like, even when he was all evil, she was still in love with him. And I'm not saying that because I, like, necessarily want her to choose one or the other. But I don't know. I feel like it would be really boring if she chose Stefan. But I feel like that's where it's headed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was just something about last episode, Damon, when Stefan and Elena were talking, and something about this episode, the way she was looking at them in that scene where she's telling them that, and the last person she looks at is Damon, and I don't know, it was the way she was talking to him and stuff that made me think, combined with the last episode's talk with Stefan, that she's kind of ready to move past Stefan right now, but her biggest fear ever is losing him. Because he's one of the stable things, sort of, that she's had in her life this whole time.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
And so there's just something about it that makes me think that romantically she's ready to move on with Damon, but her greatest fear is losing Stefan completely if she makes that choice.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I really like that idea. Also because it would just be surprising. Like, because I would be surprised. Because, you know, she's sort of do expect her to choose Stefan because that's who she's always chosen. So, but you know, one thing that could be interesting would be, like, we know from teasers and stuff that it seems like they're leading up to her choosing this season. But what if she didn't choose either of them? What if she said, you know what, I've made my choice and I choose, like, Mats. And both the brothers are like, oh, crap.
Well, I think that the end of this, or the it's the preview of the next episode, kind of rules out Matt. If you watch the I actually watched the preview this week. So I know, like, there's a conversation that that's going on between her and Matt. And I'm pretty sure that it rules Matt out completely.
Really? I saw the preview, but I don't remember this. What was it?
There's a clip where she's basically apologizing to Matt for sophomore year and how she led him on.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
She says, oh, gosh, I'm doing it all over again. I have to choose. I know I have to choose.
Yeah, I guess so, that's true.
So I think that kind of rules him out, to be honest.
I guess you're right, and it would be kind of strange, but I'm sort of warming up to the idea of Elena and Matt again. I'm calling everybody for the wrong name.
I know. It's kind of been laid in there a little bit over the episodes. There have been some really nice moments between Matt and Elena, and Matt's kind of coming around to this whole supernatural world and kind of just like, all right, let's go. So it would be interesting to see, but at the same time, I don't think he's an option right now. I think they kind of made it look that way for a little while, but we all knew that was kind of just like this off and left field option, not really what was in front of her.
Okay, I guess I'll say, I don't see Matt being an option for her. I know they've been laying hints and whatnot about it, but I just think that it would be a total, you know, regression for her going back 3 years. And it's great that he changed, and I like seeing him more in the supernatural world, and I think they could do something interesting with that, but I hope that what they choose to do isn't put him back with Elena.
I think that Jen is right when she says that Elena's going to choose Damon.
I don't know. I do think, like, I think what both of you said makes sense,
and oh, that's diplomatic.
I can't be impartial because I am hoping that she chooses Damon, and I see the arguments on both sides, but I just think that TV shows should always do what I want them to do.
Okay, so speaking of romance, I guess one of the last things we have to talk about is that it seems like Bonnie and Jeremy is on again. Yay! Our favorite character. So, yeah, yay or nay, or don't care.
I want to talk about Jeremy and this spell because I think that there will be serious repercussions for her stopping his heart that we haven't seen yet. It just seemed a little fishy to me, and it seemed to go off, without much of a hitch. And I think that something bad will be happening to Jeremy. And with that, I feel like they'll probably push him and Bonnie closer together.
I agree with the repercussions. I think that you can't just stop someone's heart and then restart it if the expectation is that you stop a heart in order to stop a supernatural heart. You have to stop a human heart. Well, if you restart the human heart, what happens to the supernatural heart? Does it stay stopped? Does it affect the spell? Does it make it weaker? I think that's also another loophole for Klaus to make a return, is that they restarted Jeremy's heart. And what are the technicalities of the spell revolving around that? And again, killing Jeremy to bring Jeremy back to life multiple times does not seem like a good idea. It doesn't seem really healthy for anyone involved. But they seem to like to kill Jeremy a lot, so who knows?
Yeah,
it'll
definitely
be interesting to see where that goes. I don't know if it'll bring them closer together, because we do have the random, is his name Jamie? I always forget his name. Boy/stepbrother. That's kind of lurking in the background for Bonnie. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, I guess.
And one thing about Bonnie that was interesting as well this week, well, you know, was that she's really pissed off, and she didn't even thank Damon for saving her life, which I thought was rude. It's like, he can do no right with her. It's like, thanks for killing my mom. Thanks for saving my life. There's nothing. And I also wanted to just bring up something because I have to put in my obligatory Buffy reference of the week, which is that Bonnie totally went Dark Willow in this episode.
Your Buffy references mean nothing to us.
I know.
Oh, no, I know.
Hopefully
what she means.
What? Fine, they mean nothing to me, but hopefully the viewers will understand.
You seem like a person who would like Buffy. I think you need to watch Buffy, Sarah.
Isn't it like 10 seasons?
It's 7 seasons. That's nothing. We can skip season 1. It's not very good. Anyway, this is not the Buffy podcast. We should do one of those, but this is not it. So, is there anything else that we didn't mention? A lot happened this week.
What did you guys think of the moment when Klaus kind of grabs Caroline and tells her to go home and stay home and like that whole moment between
and
them?
And then she like celebrated his death. Like,
I know, it seems so cold later because he was so, it felt like he was trying to be very sweet and very serious and very protective over her. And then she's like, woohoo, he's dead. So I felt kind of bad about that. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting little moment between them.
Mm-hmm. It was so sweet. I still love Klaus. But they balanced it out by having him drain all of Elena's blood.
Yeah, his sweetness quickly went away.
Still evil, yes. Yeah, no, I agree. I liked it. I thought it was nice. And another reason why I'm sure Klaus won't be gone for long, because they really set up this Klaus-Caroline thing and it hasn't really gone anywhere. So I feel like in like half a season, we'll get to revisit it.
Yeah, I think that that's another loose end that is not tied up completely. And again, that loophole for Klaus is still there. So it'll be interesting to see when that comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, is that everything for this week?
I think so.
Okay. Yep, I think so.
Fantastic. Let's move on into our discussion of the Secret Circle.
Okay, this week's Secret Circle was entitled Prom, and unfortunately we didn't get to see very much of prom itself or even the prom music, but, you know, I felt like the song that could have been playing all during prom was Justin Bieber's, like, baby, baby, because this was, like, the whole, like, main theme here of baby, baby, who's having a baby, which a lot of this revolved around. The prom frames the episode, but there's a lot else going on. It's basically hunting down the very final crystal to complete the magic skull that they're all trying to assemble. And last week we established that that crystal happened to be in the school and that Adam had uncloaked it, but it could be anywhere. So the way to find where it would be in the school was going to be via Cassie and then with Diana's help, using their dark magic by writing a blood symbol on the school floor, and it would act sort of like a compass point to show them the crystal. What they didn't realize is that it wasn't just, you know, an arrow going, follow this way. What they were actually going to see was episodes of the past that involved the crystal that they were looking for, and that would lead them to it. So they got flashback scenes that involved Cassie's mom, along with Adam's grandfather, who was a teacher at the school, and then another scene between Cassie's mom and Diana's mom concerning John Blackwell being the father of each of their children. Other side plots that were going on, we had some interesting items with Charles. We had Charles, you could see that he's desperately still trying to connect with Diana as the daughter that he raised, even though he's fully aware that she is not his biological daughter. And you can continue to see very touching and emotional Charles, that he's desperately trying to grab onto the one thing that apparently is he's lived for all these years, which is his daughter. So he has this nice scene trying to connect with her, driving her to school and giving her some jewelry that was once her mother's. Then we can see that John is into Charles torture. He's making him think that Amelia is haunting him. He basically recreates the exact spell that Charles pulled on Amelia that resulted in her death, only it doesn't kill Charles. It just basically scares the crap out of him and makes him convinced that Amelia has come back to haunt him. And then we have Charles admitting, I guess he just feels like he has to unburden his soul at this point, admitting to Diana and completely rocking Diana's world when he admits that he did in fact kill Amelia, and the reason he did it was to protect her. So he completely turns Diana's world upside down now, where everything she thought is just, she doesn't know what to think and who to trust anymore at this point in her life. And then last but not least, we have Nick. Nick is back in town hunting for the crystal. It's a race against time between him and the circle members to find the circle. There's a massive chase sequence through the school building that, of course, again, lands at a very creepy place outside in town, out of town, which is like an auto junkyard, I guess is what it is. For a very small town, there seem to be a lot of creepy abandoned areas near Chance Harbor. So in any case, the chase sequence lands them there. And eventually you end up with Nick and Jake squaring off and Melissa finally killing him because she realizes at long last that, no, it's not truly the Nick they all knew and loved. It's just somebody evil, which is what the other members of the circle have been trying to tell her all along. You have Eben squaring off against John Blackwell and Cassie getting injured, and John and Faye going after him. That was an interesting combo. And we learned that Eben has gotten away and has taken Faye hostage. However, in the very end, John manages to grab the crystal because Cassie is knocked out, and he picks up the crystal from the ground before she can wake up and let everybody know that she now has a difference of opinion as to, you know, who her father is and what his capabilities are. So that's the summary of what went on this week. The first thing to really dive into that is the most interesting is the fact that this entire circle was pregnant together in high school. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking whoever was teaching sex ed that year got fired. I mean, you know, so much for protection. I mean, you had six girls all pregnant within the same month having these kids. And I'm not saying that teenage pregnancy doesn't exist, but it's a very small town. I mean, what happened? Something like a tenth of the senior class got pregnant that year? I mean, that's a little wild. What did you guys think about that?
That's like, it's confused. It confused me so much because how does that even make sense? Like, they were all in high school, and they were all paired off, and they were all, like, I get it if they were out of, I guess maybe I don't get it if they were out of high school now that I think about it, because it'd be harder to sort of have them in the same place all the time, but it's just so strange, like, that they were all in high school, and already, not only were they pregnant in high school, they already had their kids in high school. Like, what's his face? Jake was, like, how old was he? 3, 4? At the boat
Yeah, and that was my point, because I messaged Laura as it literally when I realized that they were in high school. I'm like, what is going on? Are you watching this? Because I am so confused, because Jake's mom had to be like 14 when she had him.
And they look way older in the boatyard fire than, or at least I thought they did.
Right. Yeah, I knew they were relatively young parents. I mean, I figured they were like 18, 19 when they had the kids. I didn't think that they were in high school. I thought that they were just out of high school, and Chance Harbor being the relatively small town that it is, figuring, all right, maybe they didn't go away to college. They either went to a community college, or they commuted, or maybe they didn't go because they were all involved in like family businesses or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I guess I just never occurred to me that they were teenagers. I just figured very young adults. I did not think that they were teenagers when they had their kids.
No, and the Jake thing makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with that one. I have to say, I'm definitely having a hard time with that. I mean, obviously Blackwell had nothing to do with that particular pregnancy. That just is what it is in of itself. But yeah, I'm having a hard time with, you know, the 14-year-old or I guess you'd be like 14 or 13. I don't know. Like it's kind of hard to imagine that if somebody had a child that young. I mean, I know of almost no circumstances where, you know, a teenager who's pregnant that young stays with the child's father for, you know, enough years and really connects with them and they get married. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem very plausible to me. So I agree
think
with
there's
you guys.
A hole there. Like, we just can't make that right in our heads, like, no matter what we do. As well, didn't Nick have a picture of him and his parents and they looked way older? Like, just something just doesn't add up there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And because both his parents die in the fire. I mean, they're the only ones that both parents are gone. So, yeah, it's sketchy. Oh, it's definitely sketchy.
And you know, another thing is that they said that six girls were pregnant. So were there 12 people in this circle or six?
I think it's just six, and they just meant the six. I guess the assumption is that everybody was married to somebody who was magical. So I think it just means the families that we know.
But there are six kids now.
Right. But then there were six, obviously six mothers.
But wait, I'm doing math. This might take a while.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Both
I mean,
of Nick's
I think this,
parents
yeah,
were in the circle.
I mean,
John,
I guess,
Amelia, Charles, Ethan, who else?
Dawn,
that's already seven.
I've always thought that the former circle was a lot bigger.
The former circle was 12 because it was the merging of two circles. At least that's how it is in the books. That there are two circles, there are 12, and that's how it works. It's not just 3 and 3. Like, this circle is four girls and two boys. It's not like that. That the original circle is bigger because it's couples.
Right. Yeah. And they've never like explicitly said, I mean, obviously the surviving parent on every single person has magic, but they've never said if clearly in the TV series, I mean, the books it's different, but in the TV series, they've never said if the parent who died had magic, but you're assuming that they did. Otherwise there would be no reason for them to be on the boat that day negotiating yeah. with witch hunters. I mean, why would you put somebody who had no means to protect themselves in that situation? So I'm assuming they all had magic. So, but yeah, it's definitely a bigger number. Yeah. So that one was a little weird too. The other sort of plot hole that I came up with, one that just kind of seemed a little silly to me is Charles kind of casually inquiring with Diana about, oh, isn't prom tonight? Are you going to prom? Now, I mean, he could have been asking if she was going to the movies. It's prom. I mean, I don't know. I thought that was just a little too casual of an ask about things. What did you guys think? I just thought it was a little unrealistic.
I mean, it was a little unrealistic. I think it's, I don't know, but his relationship with Diana is kind of odd to begin with. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that they're father and daughter, but now their relationship is kind of disjointed because of this whole John Blackwell thing. So I think Charles doesn't know how to talk to Diana like he used to now. He doesn't know what to do with her, even though he still is you're my daughter, you're not Blackwell's, and all this other stuff. I think there's some breakdown in their relationship. So I think that led to the awkwardness.
Okay, that makes sense. I could too, but I can buy that. Then I have one other question, because this one also struck me as the plot hole. I mean, I have to say, I really sort of enjoyed John torturing Charles over killing Amelia. I liked John torture. I don't know. I was down with the torture thing. But here's the thing. How did he know?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Maybe.
How did he know? And did he stop it to some extent? Did he save Amelia maybe? Somewhere down the line we find out? I don't know.
I mean, I get that he could suspect. I think he figured it out. Okay. But I'm looking at the spell that he recreated, which was good, which was it was an exact recreation. He had the fire go on all the way around the kitchen, and then the water came up all the way. It hit the floor. He slips on the floor and smacks his head. Only in Amelia's case, I think it knocked her out cold, and then she probably died of smoke inhalation is what I think happened in that other scene. Here, he bangs his head, but it doesn't knock him out, but he's scared as anything. So how does, I guess John could have assumed he had something to do with it, but how does he know exactly what happened?
I think he was there. I really think that we're going to find out, because John, I think John has been keeping tabs on Amelia and Cassie for a while. I think he's been sort of watching them from the distance and, you know, waiting for his, you know, just checking they were all right, probably, and probably also waiting for signs of magic in Cassie. So what I'm assuming is that he was there and either wasn't able to help because he didn't have magic, or didn't want to help because he wanted to see Cassie come to Mystic Falls. No, Chance Harbor.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
When Blackwell was trapped in the chair and Jane and Charles were there, Charles lights a match to, like, you know, to put in the jar to kill John, and you see, like, a close-up on the match. And then you see, like, John's face kind of looking suspiciously at Charles. And then it goes back to Charles. I think there was something in that moment where, like, he recognized the spell. Or he, like, recognized him lighting a match. Like, I don't know. Somehow I feel like it connected for him in that moment. He figured it out. Or we are supposed to see in that moment that he knew. Something like that.
Yeah, like something clicked. Okay, I could definitely buy that. I could see that. And like I said, I really did enjoy it. How did you guys feel about that? Did you enjoy the John Blackwell torture of John, of Charles, I should say. I thoroughly did.
I still feel bad for Charles.
Same here.
I really feel bad for Charles. He killed Amelia.
I do feel a little sorry for him at given points, but I did really just like somebody saying, yeah, you killed an adult who did absolutely nothing to you for no danger. I mean, I don't think you can fault him for killing Nick, because that was life or death, and really he had no choice. But I think Amelia did nothing to them. She was content to live her life on the road with Cassie, and he just killed her. So I sort of did enjoy the fact that he had somebody torture him for that. I thought he had it coming.
Well, I also think it's really interesting that Blackwell seems to be getting more and more power. For someone who could barely do anything in the beginning, who was supposed to have limited to no magic, he's been capable of a lot of different things that he shouldn't really be capable of. Like, he couldn't defend himself against Eben, but he could run that spell on Charles like it was nothing. So it's odd. It doesn't quite match.
I thought of that too, and then I thought, what if he took one of the crystals and had like one of his crystals in the pocket when he did it?
But why wouldn't he have it knowing he was going to face Eben? Going to rescue the kids?
That's a good point.
That would be the most important time to have it.
That's a very good point.
So I think John is a little more shady than we want him to be, sadly.
Yeah, and clearly he was waiting for, like he knew that he had totally tortured Charles, and Diana comes home and finds him in this completely broken state, and he confesses all, which just really destroys Diana's world. And she runs out of the house, and you could just see that John Blackwell was going to be waiting there to pick up the pieces and just be like, oh, I'm just strolling by. And it's Grant that she runs into instead, so that was interesting.
Yeah, he's conveniently back.
Yeah, and he's conveniently there when she needs
him.
Well,
you know, at this point, I'm thinking he's probably not... I think he might not be a witch hunter, but I think he'll probably die, like, as a casualty of something that the witches do. And it'll, like, and send Diana over the edge.
Yeah, that could be Diana's turning point. Because Cassie asked her, what would you do if your life was in danger, if your circle was in danger? What would you do? What would you turn to? Would you use your black magic then? So if Grant is put in jeopardy, it'll be interesting to see if that's Diana's turning point. Or if she doesn't do it and he dies, and what the consequences are for Diana.
I like that theory a lot, because I know that Chris Zilka, in a number of interviews, Chris, who plays Jake, has intimated that people will die in the season finale. Well, I think that absolutely is a plausible person to knock off is Grant, and I certainly feel like that will have significance to Diana if they do kill him off. I mean, I think there are other people that could potentially go too, which is maybe an avenue of discussion we may want to pursue. Who do you think may have realistically be on the chopping block in the season finale?
I think Charles.
Yeah, I think Charles as well.
Oh, Ethan. Yeah, we haven't seen Ethan in a while. I could see the Ethan possibility too. Yeah, we haven't really seen Ethan in a while, but that could be an interesting, but I do like Charles. I do think that would be cool, which maybe then Diana's grandmother comes back into the picture. That would be fun.
I think maybe them. I don't think any of the main six are going to go. Like, no, I can't see any of them going.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, I mean, I know. Yeah, I mean, I know they've played up the fact that, like, Faye has been taken hostage, but I'm just not seeing that. I mean, they can't kill off Faye. She's such a great character. I don't think you can kill Faye off. So, and I agree that it won't be the other members of the circle, but I think you could definitely, I definitely see the argument for Charles being knocked off.
Speaking of Charles, not really, but kind of. Where is Cassie living right now, and why has social services not come to take her away?
You realize you're talking about a CW show, right?
I know,
there is
no
such thing as social services.
Yeah.
Really? Come on.
Yeah. But it annoys me.
Yeah. I mean, she is definitely back in her house, but I've gotten the impression that Charles has either quasi moved in or like checks in enough that nobody's saying anything so much. That's sort of my take on it. I mean, in that it's, you know, her father is absolutely in town. So it's not like, you know, her dad isn't there. I mean, they're not giving social services any reason to, you know what I'm saying, like come in, because she's fed, she's clothed, you know, she's attending school, dad is in town. I'm thinking that's the reasoning. And he seems to like, he does sort of like pop by the house enough. I think it's enough that people would think that he's, you know, there more significantly than he is.
Yeah, okay.
Back to the death in the finale for a second. I was looking for this interview that I knew the executive producer did with TV Guide, Andrew Miller, and he says, there will absolutely be real and shocking deaths at the end. No one is safe as the past finally catches up to the present. So I think that's interesting that he says deaths, plural.
Plural.
Meaning that, you know, more than one, and the past catching up with the present makes me wonder if there won't be a more present character and one of the older circle dying. or if they'll be killing each other, like someone from the older
circle. I mean, I do like that it's called, I mean, I do like that the upcoming episode is called Family and Family Ties. And I think at the end of the day, who do you fight for? Probably you'll fight to save your family. So it is, I guess it's who, how you define family and pitting family against family. This could get really interesting. Actually, and this is maybe a good segue into this. When we had the flashback scenes where they're trying to hunt down the crystal in the school, one of the things that I thought was really fascinating, because we were talking about this last week, how without having Jane around, Cassie lost sort of that person without an agenda to the past. You know, Jane, relatively speaking, seemed pretty truthful about what did or did not go down in the past. And we said that maybe in the future, Jake's grandfather could fulfill that role, although he's a little bit of a nut job. But what I really liked is by having this flashback, Cassie and Diana got this unbiased view from the past, in that it's just a recording of events of exactly how they appeared. It's not like someone is telling their version of the events. It's like you're just watching a TV camera showing you what transpired. So I think to a certain degree, you have to take people at their word because they don't have an agenda to manipulate you in the present. So I really kind of, I thought it was interesting how you could see that Cassie's mom and Diana's mom were not perhaps the best of friends there. I thought that was really interesting considering close the two girls are, and how the information came out very, very clearly that John Blackwell betrayed them. He is not who they thought he was. And that, you know, Cassie's mom was going to leave town and she was urging Diana's mom to do the same. What did you think about that that revelation scene for like the girls and Diana and Cassie taking that information in?
Was it just me, or did Diana's mom seem like kind of a ditz? Not a ditch. Ditz. What's the word? Ditz.
She's a little dizzy. I also thought, well, she's a little bitchy too.
She surprised me because that's not how I expected Diana's mom to be.
Yeah, she was also a little, I don't know, hard. I was going to say self-centered too, more.
Just
I don't know.
Really un-Diana-like. I hate nitpicking on stuff like that, but I did not think that their scenes were particularly well acted. Like, I did. It wasn't like the Boatyard Fire where we were really feeling the feelings of these people. This was just kind of like a high school sort of two girls that don't like each other and are bitching up to each other. That's what it felt like.
I liked the information that we got out of that scene, but I do agree with you on the acting. I thought the acting that went on between the younger version of Amelia and Adam's grandfather was actually more interesting. I thought that dynamic was a little more real than the one involving the girl playing Elizabeth, Diana's mother. You know what is interesting, though, where he said that he had given, she's giving the crystal back to him, and that he gave her a crystal to protect her. So I thought that was interesting because surely she had her own crystal. Why was he giving, was she carrying two of them? And she, you know, she had hidden the other one. That was weird. Why did he give her an extra crystal? What did you guys think of that?
I don't know. It seemed really odd that she was getting all these crystals. And it also seemed really odd that Ethan's father was so willing to help her and to get her out of town. It seemed like an odd thing for her to go to him.
Yeah.
It feels like that scene's really important in that we're missing something.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. I mean, the other thing I thought was kind of funny, too, is that in the follow-up scene, he said, well, I took the crystal and I'm going to cloak it, and this is where I'm going to hide it. I just want to note, so have they not cleaned the trophy case in 16 years? You know? I mean, I get where Adam found the original item that Adam uncloaked was his grandfather's coin. And I thought that was really cool. And then it revealed like this wall safe. So I thought that was awesome because, you know, it had a picture in front of it. It's not going to get moved or jostled versus this crystal in the trophy case. Do they not wax the floors of the school? Do they not move the trophy case ever? I just thought, you know, or the likelihood of things in a trophy case getting moved around. You know, I thought that was just a really weird decision as to where to hide this crystal in the school. Unless he was just banking on, you know, that Amelia was going to come back for it a lot sooner than later and didn't even think anything about, you know, just leaving it where he did. And then years later said, okay, nobody has magic. Who cares if nobody ever finds this again? I don't know. It was a little strange to me. How did you guys feel about Nick being back and, you know, some other interesting, I thought it was nice to give Melissa some closure. Like, you saw how she was tortured and then she came around, and I did feel badly that she had to kill him, because other than Jake and Cassie, she's the first one to actually kill anybody in the circle. Am I right?
Well, that, you know, an argument can be made for whether she actually killed him, because I think sort of, at least I understood it to be that he was already dead. Like, this was the demon Nick. But I thought it was actually really nice. It was sort of came full circle, because I think more than Jake, Melissa was the one who hadn't let go of Nick, and this sort of really heavily symbolized like an anvil hitting us over the head, that she was done with him. Like, that she understood that he wasn't Nick anymore and that he wasn't coming back.
I do. I agree with you. I like that. And I like that she, you could sort of see her saying, no, that wasn't him, and that she was going to do what she had to do. I thought that was good. We also had the Adam and Melissa bonding going on again.
Yeah.
So, Selena, I think you are so completely right.
Well,
that,
you know,
we're going to see it go that way.
Actually, I mean, I think, I think I'm probably right. But this week I sort of almost had more of the really close friend vibe. Like, the whole dancing was definitely had romantic undertones. But I sort of hope that if they do, you know, if the show does continue next season, and if they continue to develop that they'll let them stay friends. Because we really don't get to see that on TV anymore. Like, there's
no
French, like, platonic friendships between guys and girls on TV anymore at all. They eventually turn romantic. And I doubt that they can resist eventually having Melissa and Adam get together. But I kind of hope they do, because I really like their friendship. And it's making me like Melissa so much. Like, I just completely turned around from the beginning of the season on her.
Yeah, I feel like her character has a lot more depth now. There's just more for her to do. You get, because before she was just Faye's little pawn. Now you get to see Melissa having a Melissa personality more than she's Faye's dumb sidekick who's going to do whatever Faye says.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I don't think they would ruin that by putting her romantically with Adam, but I really like their friendship. I just really want them to be friends.
I agree. I really, really enjoy that friendship aspect. And they just have, because there's no pressure on either of them. They just have a really good dynamic. They bounce off each other well. I agree. I think it's really neat. On the other hand, what I thought was interesting is that you see Faye and Jake starting to reconnect a little bit as to what their relationship is or was, that's starting to improve, that they're each sort of forgiving each other for being complete jerks in each other's past. And they're starting to reconnect on a level of more than just, you know, friends with benefits.
I kind of find that a little strange, I'm not going to lie. Because we had Faye go, you know, she was with Lee and then Lee died. And now she's like all of a sudden just back with Jake. And it seems odd. It seems rushed in a lot of ways. And inconsistent with where Jake was going with things with Cassie. And even though Cassie had kind of chosen Adam, Jake had that moment where he said how he felt about her. So it just feels really strange to have this Faye-Jake thing going on with all of the other stories, lines that have kind of just been left. So I don't know. It's just weird to me. I enjoy their banter. I think it's so much fun and it makes the show really lively. I just think it's an odd thing to try to build their relationship now. Because it feels like there are things that are left undone.
Yeah, I like it a little more on her end, because I've always felt like Jake, that Faye had those feelings and she never quite got over those feelings. And that's part of that like bitchy persona that she has. So I feel like it was there and it was just kind of a defensive act for a good degree. So I see that a little more on her part, but I do agree with you on Jake that it's a little confusing with the whole Cassie side of him, unless they're going to, you know, play it totally, you know, Selena makes her Buffy references. I'll make her a Lost reference here. You know, if they sit there and do the complete, Sawyer and Kate and Jack routine where, you know, both Jack and Sawyer were consistently in love with more than one person. And it was like, well, which one is it going to be this week? You know, so you had a bit of the love quadrangle going on. And I'm wondering if maybe they're going to set up something along those lines where you have two really good choices among like four people. And maybe that's where it goes. Anybody have anything else they want to bring up with this episode?
No, hopefully this is not the penultimate episode of the show.
Yes, I'm my gut now, I could be wrong. Obviously, I don't have a crystal ball. That, you know, no pun intended, that lets me know what's going on in the CW's minds. However, what I'm thinking is this. They launched earlier this week, I want to say it was on Monday or so that the press release went out, this iPhone and iPad app for the Secret Circle, which I happened to download the other day just to kind of check out what it was. And it's pretty cool. It's not bad. It gives you the videos. It gives you the PR photos. And then on each character, it gives you like a diary entry about what they're thinking each week and each episode and what have you. And I scrolled back and I could see previous episodes and entries and things. And I just kept thinking, you know, they launched this thing the week of the penultimate episode. If you're going to bag a series, why would you launch this thing? You know, you would just be like, eh, it's not going anywhere. Bag it. Don't put it out there. What have it. It doesn't make any kind of sense to put out there a product on a show that you're only going to cancel anyway. So my gut instinct says that they do get renewed for next season just based upon you don't do a product on a show you're going to bag.
Okay. Well, that's reassuring. We'll obviously let you guys know on Hypable what happens.
I think they won't. I don't think they're going to come up with an announcement, though, until next Monday. I think they want to get through. This is pretty much season finale week for the CW. And chances are that they will bag one of the shows, whether it's Ringer or Heart of Dixie. I mean, Ringer already concluded, but Heart of Dixie has its finale on Monday. And there's another one that has its finale on Saturday, which I can't think of what that is right now, Friday or Saturday. Nikita? So I'm thinking Nikita, that's it. Nikita doesn't have its finale until Friday or Saturday. So I'm thinking they want to really kind of get through finale week, because I think what they want their story to be is, oh, what a great finale. They don't want the lead story to be CW cancels insert name of show. You know, they want it to be CW, this is finale week. And then after finale week is over, then they'll announce what's going on. At least that's my armchair two cents from the PR world of what somebody would do.
Okay, that's cool. That's good. Good to know. But as I said, we'll definitely let you guys know on Hypable. When you listen to this, we will have a big sort of checklist, TM Sarah Malloy, for TV show renewals and cancellations. So you'll be able to keep up with all the updates on hypable.com.
Yes, and big shout out to Selena who compiled that list, because that is a fantastic resource to know what's going on and what is it. So
I'm especially proud of the little colored dots.
I was looking at that. I'm like, it's even color coded.
Yeah. Okay. So enough of the promotion. Before we end the show, we just want to do some listener feedback. And we have a little bit more than usual this week, because I figured we'll let the listeners give some theories.
Emily writes, I legit cried when Alaric was supposed to be killed by Daemon. What made me terribly sad was that everyone assumed that Daemon would be the one to kill Alaric. It was really nice hearing Roxanne. I used to listen to her on Glee Chat, and she was just as great on here. I agree with her that in the longer she keeps stringing along Stefan and Daemon, the more I lose respect and gain disgust for her. Diana is my favorite character on Secret Circle, and her dad, who is wonderfully played by Gale Harold, is just so great. Even though he has killed a lot of people, he is the character that I feel most sympathy for. I dislike Cassie almost as much as I hate Elena for a variety of reasons. I would love to see Adam and Melissa together, but I don't think that they are going to show that. I like the way that they bonded. If Adam uses Melissa to get over or stay away from Cassie, I would hate that. So this is a very anti-Elena commenter. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like this comment. Like, I couldn't decide if I like the Secret Circle or the Vampire Diaries part best, so I just kept it all. But yeah,
we got both parts.
I don't know. I like Elena. I'm not a big fan of Cassie, though, but I like Elena.
I think it's interesting because you can definitely, and I know I feel like this sometimes, I like watching shows certainly because of the main character, but I'm frequently more interested in the side characters. So I could see people not liking Elena or not liking Cassie and really being into well-developed side characters. So I actually can appreciate a bit what Emily's trying to say here.
And I agree with her reasons for disliking Elena, you know, stringing along Stefan and Damon. She's definitely doing that.
But she and Cassie going to the dark side. And Cassie's been very, very emo and like tunnel vision lately. So I could definitely see the Cassie dislike as well.
Okay, so next we have some comments about Alaric's development. Jen, do you want to get those?
Yes. First we have Emily Zitterkopf. I think I said that right, I'm sorry, who may or may not be the Emily from the previous comment. She writes, if Alaric becomes the villain for season 4, I will seriously have to reconsider watching the show. I love Alaric, but it is his time to die from the storyline they gave him. They gave him a proper send-off, which makes me think he won't ever be good again. It is like the good part of him died and they all said their goodbyes. Kelly agrees, saying, I absolutely hate the Alaric twist. He's my favorite character, and I sobbed until I got it all out of my system, and prepared for him to die. Then he comes back as the evil vampire hunter. I'd rather he be dead than have to watch my favorite character be like that. However, we have Love Slider 741852, and their perspective is, I love evil Alaric. Somehow it just increases his hotness. Very diverse opinions on Alaric and what his character should and shouldn't do. I think we all kind of said that we really loved Alaric as he was, and that it's been really hard to watch this evil Alaric, and it feels a little, I don't know, it feels a little dragged out to me personally, but what do you guys think? Positions on Alaric?
I think that they have created a really interesting character. You know, I liked evil Alaric as far as like being a new villain in the last episode, but I do hate that they did that to his character because I just loved him and I think it would have been much better for, you know, the Alaric that we know to just sort of go out the way that we thought he was going to go out in the previous episode. But I really agree with Emily, who said that it's like the good part of him died and now it's almost like he's a completely different character.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's dragged out as well. It kind of cheapened the way that he died. Okay, so time for Secret Circle comments.
Let's see. Our first comment is from Tanisha. It's a bit of a long one, so hold in here. It says, hey, podcasters. I just got done watching the prom episode and wanted to get in my thoughts. First off, I thought it was a great episode, and I'm really looking forward to next week's. It definitely looks like Dawn might be playing both Charles and John. At first, I thought she was just playing Charles on John's behalf. But after the frantic phone call she tried to make to Charles, I'm of the belief she's playing both of them. Dawn is definitely the type to only have her best interest at heart, so she's probably toeing the line until she sees a clear winner. I think that's a really astute point. On my behalf. Let's see, she has something else to say here about Diana, too. She says, am I the only one who thought that Diana jumped to the conclusion of Charles killing Amelia pretty fast? As far as she knew, Amelia's death was a freak accident. There was never any question of foul play, and Charles was being too vague for her to automatically assume he had something to do with it, especially when she believes he has no magic due to the elders stripping them. I just thought that was weird that she immediately knew when he could have been having a guilty conscience for anything. He did grow up with Amelia. After all, there's a lot of history there. Also, the writers seem to be getting lazy. That or they're retconning already. Okay, there we go. Amelia said that 6 of the girls in her circle were pregnant. So the parent circle had 12 members, like in the book. Yet the writers made a big deal about only needing 6 members to bind the circle in the beginning of last season. They really make the rules of circle members clearer on that, or just go with the original number in the books, because it's starting to get really confusing. And last, Faye's kidnapping, very fishy. I think maybe John let her get taken on purpose, but as far as he knows, the circle trusts him. So I don't know. What would you think was his motive for it? Unless he got her taken so that the circle would be more determined to create the skull. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on the new episode. Whew. So she's a lot of points she was making there. So does anybody want to jump in on any one in particular that that Tanisha focused in on?
Well, I think the last one, Faye's kidnapping, is something we didn't talk about. And I was wondering the same thing. It just seems so, like I said, John has power. How did he let Faye get kidnapped? It does seem really fishy. Like, I feel like John should have been able to protect her a little bit more and stop her. Or stop them from taking her. It just seems really odd that Faye got taken.
I do too. I also think that there is the more the circle has something to focus on other than John, the less they question what his motives are. So I do think what you're saying is to their advantage, that John needs to create, to a sense, a common enemy somewhere else, because if their attention is diverted from him, they're not going to start thinking too hard about, what is he asking us to do? Is this really the right thing? Is he really who he says he are? They're going to be so concentrating, particularly if it's one of the other circle members, on being in danger, they're not going to think about him and his motives. So I agree. I think it was an attempt at diversion of some part on him, but as to what his end game is there, I'm going to say I don't know. Anybody else have anything they want to add in on Tanisha?
No, so good points.
Okay, and then we just have two other commenters. One is Heather Campbell, who writes, "Oh my God, love the fake." That's the Faye and Jake shipping. "Love the fake kiss. Finale is going to be epic. I can't wait. Yay for our fake shippers." And Gordon writes in, "What was the point of bringing Nick back? A bit pointless, in my opinion." So what do you guys think about the fake shipping or Nick being brought back only to be gone again?
Yeah, that was a bit pointless. I mean, is he now gone, or is he going to appear more in the last episode?
Oh God, I hope he's gone.
Yeah, he's right. It was pointless bringing him back, because we don't even know if it was really him or not. Like, at least that wasn't clear to me.
We didn't learn anything more. It didn't advance the plot in any way. It was just like, oh, well, we signed you on for this many episodes, so we're going to have to bring you back as this demon person. Like, that's right. What it felt like. It didn't give us any new information. It didn't do anything for us.
Right. I'm also having trouble with imagining him as the witch who's been working with the witch hunters. I mean, I understand the point at which Eben resurrected all those demons out of the dirt, which was only a couple episodes before that. So to me, it's like he had to have been working with a witch before that. So even if Nick was helping them to a degree, I don't think he was totally the traitor. So I'm not sure what all of this... I'm not sure. I'm left with a big old question mark going, I don't know where all of this went, but I did like the fact that I liked what it did for Melissa and Jake's plot lines. But other than that, I'm not really sure where this was going overall.
Can I say there's some small part of me that thinks that somehow it's John Blackwell that's working with the Witch Hunters. I don't know why. Mm. There's something. The fact that Faye randomly got kidnapped, the fact that John never seems quite powerful when he's around the Witch Hunters, even though we know he has power. I don't know. It's just weird.
I think that's a good theory. I could see that playing out.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more on both, I think, the Witch Hunters and Blackwell's side here going on that we don't have the first clue about. So I'm definitely looking forward to this final episode, which to me seems like it's taking place on that boat. Did it look like that to you guys in the finale, that we're back at the boatyard? So I'm up for some more flashbacks, which would certainly help to explain some things. And yeah, really curious where this will go. I also know that in next week's episode is going to be Stephanie Kramer, who played Diana's grandma. So she's back. So hopefully we get some information about the past here going on.
Great. Okay, well, to just quickly wrap up the episode, we hope that you guys enjoyed it and that you are looking forward to next week's finales. OMG finales. Just to catch you guys up, because we did discuss this a bit earlier, but The Vampire Diaries has officially been renewed for season 4. So yay! We were very excited, although not altogether surprised. And, you know, Supernatural has also been renewed. But there's still no news on the Secret Circle, and we are sort of, Laura was saying earlier that we're expecting the news to come sometime the week after the finales. But we don't know, we're just guessing. And if you want to check the status on the Vampire Diaries, that doesn't matter, it's been renewed, but the Secret Circle or any other shows that we cover on Hypeable, you can find a complete list of renewed, cancellation, uncertainty, what show is in what category, you can find that on hypeable.com. That's hypable.com. And on hypeable.com, you can also find us, the Secret Circle Diaries, the Secret Diaries chat. We have a link to all past episodes, as well as comment threads for you to engage with us and with the podcast and with the recent episodes. And we would love it if you guys could leave your comments about, you know, anything that you want us to talk about on the show. And you can also do that on Twitter. If you at reply Secret Diaries TV. And of course, you can also do it the old fashioned way and email us at secretdiaries@hypeable.com. And that is everything. So have a good week and we will talk to you next week. I am Selena.
And I'm Laura.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sarah.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.